Welcome to the Kids Ministry and Leadership Podcast. I'm Andy, and today I'm going to be talking about getting rid of self. It's an interesting title as we dive into this, but what is self? I'm talking about us. How do we get in the way of what God wants to do in our life? I think of back in early day ministry, walking along the beach with Christy, and there was some teenagers in my youth ministry who had all grown up and they're worshiping God, they're loving God, they're active in youth ministry, but then they get to 13, 14, 15, and some of them had started to go to some parties, experiment with alcohol, and go off on a little bit of a tangent. And it was just troubling me so much. And as we walked along the beach, I'm crying, going, I've got to sort them out. I've got to do this. I've got to. And Christy just gently, even in early marriage, she still does it today, just grabbed me by the elbow and gently says, it's not about you. God can do this, but it's not you. You can't change their lives. I remember her saying, you can't change their lives. I actually turned around and I was yelling back, I can change their lives. I can't change their lives. And I think it's this lesson that even right back then, 20 years ago in ministry, I'm looking back in reflection now, that I have to be reminded of this constantly, that I can't change people's lives. And to be honest, I get in the way often of what God wants to do because I become self-focused, selfish, self-absorbed, self-motivated. These are the words that I think that we need to tackle and look at today. In ministry as leaders, we're ultimately called to be a participant in the mission of God. In Latin, this is the missio Dei. And this theologically is connected heavily with the image of God. That's the imago Dei. And the notion that we are called to express the image of God and live out the mission of God. And so we need to take on the nature of who he is and represent him more than we have to represent us or ourselves. We often think that who we are and what we're representing, and we are a brand. I think in today's society, with social media influencers, we have so many people that represent themselves or their brand, but yet we don't do that as Christians and as leaders. We represent Christ and who he is. I've often said that the opposite of faith is not doubt, but it's self-belief. You see, often as we try to separate this, I haven't got enough faith, I must be doubting. No, that's not the opposite. You see, having doubt in yourself, doubt in the ability, doubt in the circumstances is the beginning of faith. When you've got doubt that you're not sure how this is going to go, that's the perfect place for where God steps in and we have faith to believe that only he can. The opposite of that would be when we have self-belief that by my own works, by my own efforts, by what I'll do, by my strategy, by my brilliance, we're going to get even an inch further, is where we get this wrong. Augustine grappled with this fundamental question, and he pondered and he wrote this, "Who put this will in me?" This question delves into the origins of self. Who put this will in me? Where did this even notion of self come about? Augustine believed that without God providing unity with him in this context of the triune God, the self would remain fragmented. He saw that the inward call was God's invitation to find unity in him and to express the image of who Christ was. I love that picture. As we enter into this, as I've heard it written in different books, the divine dance of the Trinity of God, we enter in that and learn how to express the divine nature of who he is. We start to express his image. This is the very opposite of expressing ourselves, the self. The 19th century German writer Grenz asked, what happens when the concept of the infinite within the finite on which the self-expressive self relies for stability and overcoming is particularity proves to be an unstable center. That's deep. I'll read it again and then I'll unpack it a little bit. It says, what happens when the concept of the infinite within the finite, that's the God, that's the spiritual within the finite, the me, of the self-expressive self relies for stability and overcoming, its particularity proves to be based upon an unstable center. And so what he's asking there is, what if we're centering around the wrong thing? What if we're putting the onus and focus on ourselves, and we're building out of our life, and we're building everything out of the center of ourselves rather than the infinite, which is God, which is who he is? This crisis gave birth back historically to postmodern self. It's characterized by the loss of self, and then it started to demise further. And this is where, in the postmodern self, it then starts to seek identity through relationships. And as we as humans search, we then search especially for the foundational one, which is God. And so all humanity is searching to answer that question around self, but where we are finding the solutions right now in our current society is within self. And if we find the solution of who we are and self within ourself, that is the wrong place, and that's going to be a dangerous place to land these thoughts, because our self is never going to lead us to anything greater. And if we center around God and Christ and who he is and his nature, and partner with the very one that created us, and partner in the purpose for why he created us, then we start to outwork the nature of what this self is looking for, which is purpose. You don't have to go far to look in social media influencers where they're portraying themselves a certain way, but very much knowing behind the scenes that self is falling apart at the seams. And this is what we do. We put this public face out here as we're trying to maintain this internal self in here. A famous theologian put it this way: the intended working of God's mission through the world then is the shalom, or the peace of God outworking by the flourishing of his creation. This shalom of God can't be expressed when self is at the center, this peace of God, this who he is. Ron Sider says it this way. He says, in many crucial areas, evangelicals are not living any different from their unbelieving neighbors. The consequences of this on our witness to Jesus Christ are incalculable. You see, the primary function is to bring peace of God and to bring outwork the Missio Dei, this mission. And this is completely missed when the self is the focus. You see, we can't focus on people when we're focusing on ourselves. And I think that the breakdown of all of this comes about when our identity is skewed. So I want to dive into how we can really tackle this today. James points out a key thought, and he highlights it when he says in James 1 verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at it himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. I've spoken about this at podcasts. I've preached at this about conferences, but this text resonates with me so deeply, because we need to be living out who Christ has made us and called us. And we are reminded of who we are when we look upon that perfect image of Christ. And so for us to be effective in our leadership, for us to be effective in our ministry, we have to find a space of where we're living out our true and authentic self. And we do this, ironically, by getting rid of self. We're not going to find who we are by digging deeper into a broken and corrupted person. We're going to find who we are by diving deeper into the one who created us. And so I want to look at a few selves and some adjustments that we can make to ourself today. The first is self-control. We can't control anything. When you think of that, we literally cannot control anything. So we need self-control through his strength. The scripture says in Galatians 5 verse 22 to 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's not self-control. That is a fruit that comes from God. God gives us the ability to control within self, which is in essence, a handing over to him. Hey, sorry to butt in, but I wanted to tell you something really exciting, which is happening in Australia this year. It is KidShaper Conference, June 26th to the 28th on the Gold Coast, and I'd love to have you there. We have Terry Parkman as well as Beth Cunningham coming to speak, and more than that, it's just a place where kids, pastors and leaders can gather in community. I'm so glad the conference is back. You can go to our website, acckids.org.au, and find all the information. Now, let's get back to the podcast. You see, we need God's Spirit to renew our self-control. Self-control is the fruit of the Spirit. It's only by working in the Spirit that we can exercise this life of how He wanted us. When we depend on God's strength, we can resist temptation. We can align our thoughts. We can start to put to bed some of our past challenges and historic hurts, and we can not live this out and perpetuate this in our life when we bring it to God and take self-control over certain areas, but it's handing over the control to Him. The second one, second self, is self-belief. Well, again, we can't have belief in ourselves. So all of these self words that are in our common English phrase are almost oxymorons. Self-belief, well, you can't have self-belief. It's not belief in you that's going to get you there. If I think a little bit like the little engine that could, I'm going to get up that hill because I've got self-belief. There are limitations. I think one of the greatest things we can do is embrace the gift of limitations. God talks about these limitations that are in our life, and the limitations to what we can and can't do, the limitations of how to live. I love this picture in Genesis where God puts a limitation around Adam and Eve after they sin. He takes them out of the garden and he shuts it off for them. And we see this and often preach that this was the punishment from God, but this was placing a limitation because God is a loving God. You see, this limitation that I'm talking about is that if God had have let Adam and Eve live in the garden in a state of sin, eating from the tree of life, they would have perpetually kept living in sin. And so a limitation was placed for them lovingly in order to protect and guide them. And this is what God does for us. We have to embrace our limits. And self-belief is where we think we can do it, but self-belief through His promises and through embracing His limits is a different way to look at this. Scripture that I want to look at is in Isaiah 41. It says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I'll uphold you and uphold you with my righteous right hand." He will give you the strength. You can have belief in what He is doing through you, not what you think you can do yourself. So our self-belief is renewed by trusting in God's promises. It reassures us in that verse in Isaiah that His presence is what strengthens and upholds us. Here's the next self. Again, it's an oxymoron. It's self-esteem. Well, I can't be esteemed because I look in the mirror and five times a day say, "You're beautiful," or "You can do it," or "You're courageous." That's not going to help my self-esteem. Self-esteem has to come through God's unconditional love. I have to be grounded in the fact that He loves me. Not that I'm thinking, well, self-esteem will come about if I get myself to a certain position and then I'll have more self-esteem. I'm not going to have more self-esteem if I have the right clothes, if I drive the right car. All of these things are man-made, and we see this often in leadership. If I get the right position, if I'm able to lead this or have X amount of people in my ministry or whatever it might look like, and we start to put out on social media what we think other people want to see, and that's so dangerous because if we're looking at comparison, then now what we're putting out as who we are, we're now comparing ourselves to that same element. So if you want 100 people, then someone's got 1,000. If you want to drive this particular Porsche, someone's driving a Ferrari. If we've got this particular watch, someone's walking around with another. Whatever it would look like in ministry, whatever it would look like in clothes and fashion, and This self-esteem can't be grounded in who we are or what we do, but it has to be grounded through an unconditional love that God has for us. 1 John 3, it says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." Just that alone should give you the confidence to be exactly who you are, to have the self-esteem to stand tall, that you're not an imitation, that you're not a mistake, that God made you just the way you are. But the self-esteem can't come from self. The self-esteem comes from His love. And we need God's unconditional love to renew our self-esteem, to realign our thoughts, to reposition us back at the foot of the cross, to know that it is only through Him that we can be anything. The next one is self-worth. Self-worth. Well, self-worth is a hard one, because this is shaped out of emotions. This is shaped through experience. This is through disappointment. Self-worth comes again through many of the things I was talking about before. If we start to shape our self-worth through our position, our titles, our ministries, we're going to fall very quickly, because we're never going to reach up to someone else's standard, but we have to have the ability to look in the mirror and go, I have worth because of who Christ is, not because of who I am. I was talking to someone just the other day, and I was talking about, the authority, or even the opportunity that I would have through influence, through connections with different people, or even what I get the honor to serve in many different things I want to do. I carry and I weigh that influence heavy, that I don't want to ever misuse that. And this gentleman just said to me, he goes, "Well, look, at the end of the day," he goes, "your influence is nothing." He goes, "Your influence only exists because of who God is, not because who you are." And before he said that, before you think, man, who's this person? He said, "Permission to speak really frankly and direct?" I said, "Absolutely." And I loved it, because it was this reminder again that my self-worth, my position, my influence, none of that means anything other than the fact that it is what God allows. And we need our self-worth to come through His redemption. It's who Christ is and what He has done. In Ephesians, it says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace." And we can have our self-worth completely, steadfastly anchored in His redemption, that we are made worthy through Christ's sacrifice, and His grace provides the foundation for our self-worth, nothing in which we can do. The last one is self-awareness. And self-awareness is important. And self-awareness comes through His word. Self-awareness comes through the word of God. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." This self-awareness of who we are, the self-awareness of how we appear, the self-awareness of how we speak, the self-awareness of the thoughts we possess, the self-awareness of the unresolved hurts and issues in our life, the self-awareness in order of what we are called to do has to be layered in Christ. And this self-awareness comes through His word. As we listen to more, as we dive into the word, as it is transforming our life, the word of God starts to reveal and show our deepest parts, our biggest secrets. It starts to highlight. It's illuminating. It's a light unto our feet. And as we're looking at the word of God right there, self-awareness becomes evident. And that self-awareness is only for us in order, as I quoted the scripture before, to look back on that mirror and see the image of Christ. And within the self-awareness of who He is, we ought to want to change. And that is what that transformative sanctification process really is. It is a self-awareness. It doesn't come by self. I would have to say, if we are left to our own self, we become ignorant. If we get left to our own self, we become stubborn in our own practices and behaviors. And so self-awareness through His word is so important. The sharp two-edged sword piercing through some of our own perceived opinions of ourselves to become aware in order for us to become more like Christ. So as we finish out the podcast today, As I said, we need to get rid of ourself. We need to live out the mission of God, the Missio Dei. We need to definitely become the image of God, that Imago Dei. And as we do this, as we live it out, we are becoming less in ourself so that Christ can be glorified. Well, again, I hope this has helped in your leadership. This is personal, but we can't separate the personal self from who we are to the leadership and to the ministry that we're offering to those around us. And so today, I just really encourage you to seek out of eliminating self in order for God to be glorified. Thanks for joining us today on the podcast. I look forward to having you next month. And again, let me just really encourage every single one of you that if this is helping you, share it. Share the podcast. Share the ministry, kids ministry leadership podcast with those around you, because I know that it is helping teams. I'm hearing great feedback. So thank you so much for your continued support.
This is a Poly Studios production.